Hello and welcome to another episode of the World Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow, and on today's episode is 800 meter world champion Donovan Brazier. We talk about how he got into running, but his just general love of sport. He is a bit of a wannabe NFL star. You'll see what I'm talking about later in the episode, but he is a really fun guy, and I hope you guys enjoy it. What's your favorite meme?
Oh, we're talking right now. I'm sorry. I didn't know we were talking. My favorite meme? I like the cat meme.
Not the one with the woman's pointing at the cat.
It's a white cat, too, but the cat, it's like a taxidermy cat. And you're just like...
Oh, no, I know which one you mean. Yeah. My favorite one is the woman pointing at the cat right now, though.
That's because it's hot right now.
Yeah, it is, but yeah, I don't know. Have you seen the one where they've gone into like an Apple store and they've changed all the screensavers to the woman pointing at the cat?
Oh, that cat meme?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that.
I know. Okay. Any other memes?
I have like a bunch in the back of my head, but like, I just can't think of them now. You know what I mean? Like if you go through like my Twitter likes, they're all just going to be a bunch of like meme stuff.
You can say some of the World Athletics ones that we made in Doha if you want. But
I honestly can't remember any of them. And I was going to say, I hope I don't offend you guys, but I don't.
I'm joking. Okay, right. So you've had a pretty big year, fair to say. Did you, at the start of the year, did you expect 2019 to go the way that it did go?
No, not at all, actually. I think 2019 was just kind of like a comeback year for me. I was like, if I can run healthy and not absolutely hate running because it's so painful, then I'll be happy with it. So once I started my indoor season, I was kind of building a lot of momentum coming off of U.S. championships and 600 meter indoor personal best. I think that was just a good stepping stone for me to go do some good things in 2019. So everything this whole year was just about progressing, and I kind of had like a domino effect season where it's like I started running good and I started getting better each and every race, and then I finally peaked in the best form at Doha.
Mm-hmm. Did you always love running? Did it just come to you automatically?
No, I actually hate running. I don't even like running now, to be honest. Like, if I could do anything else, which I still think I'm going to do, I'm going to be like an NFL wide receiver. So that's like my goal after 2020 or 2024.
Really?
That's my goal.
No way. Yeah. Okay, wait. So as a kid, what sports did you do?
I did a lot of football and a lot of basketball, but never running.
And how did that happen?
I was just small and I hit puberty late. So I was like a little kid on the football team and I was just getting like bullied around and stuff like that. Like I just couldn't fit in with the guys my age group. So I just kind of went with everybody else, all the misfits, and decided to join the cross country team.
All the misfits.
So
you just shaded literally everybody watching this right now.
They know what it is. You know what I mean? Like it's just different.
Okay. So what was it like growing up? Where did you grow up again?
I grew up in Michigan.
Michigan.
So Northern America, which is pretty cold.
Were your family sporty?
Yeah, my dad ran track. My mom, not really sporty at all. Okay. But he was more of a football guy and basketball guy growing up. So I think that's where I kind of was thought to believe that if I was going to go pro, it was going to be in the NFL. But just took a different route.
Is he happy with where you're at?
I think he's happy with the way things have gone so far. But,
world champion.
Yeah, but now it might be time to see what else I can do. Maybe in trying to build an NFL career would be kind of nice.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
I feel like you don't believe me when I'm telling you this.
No,
like,
I do.
Like
right.
You just seem very skeptical about it.
Right, okay. I'm skeptical because I think you're younger than me. How old are you?
22.
22, yeah. Okay, so I'm 23. Just the idea of a career change already is quite... But I mean, have you not dedicated the best part of your life to this one particular sport? And you say 2020 might tap out?
I say that now, and I joke about that with my current coach, Pete Julian, but... We always just say, 2020, if we do good enough there, then we're done with the sport. But we all know how it is. Like, when you think you're done, you just kind of, like, once you're done, you don't really know what else to do. And all I know right now is running. So, to be fair, I probably would stick around longer because that's all I know. But if opportunities presented itself and things kind of opened up for me, I would definitely go a different route.
Do you think that's the thing where, like, you have been quite successful at quite a young age, becoming world champion, that kind of thing? Is that kind of, like, in the back of your mind, you've kind of done what you needed to do?
No, because there's so many other things. And I was actually talking to Delilah about this yesterday, actually. I was like, you know, you won a world championship, you've broken world records, American records, you've broken everything. It's like, what keeps you going now? And she just said, like, same thing as about Bolt. You know, Bolt was doing all that stuff, and he was still competing at a high level for, like, 5 years after he was even breaking world records. So I think it's just always about, that's the hard part about running. That's what kind of makes it, you know, hard. But it's just thinking that you can always get better. Mm-hmm. You know, times can always get faster. You can always collect more accolades to your name, whether it's world championships or just medal counts or whatever it is.
Are you motivated more by medals or time?
Definitely medals. Uh-huh. I think medals just mean more. You know what I mean? Like, you could probably say how many gold medals Mo Farah has, but you probably don't know his PR necessarily.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
But, and it doesn't matter. No. You know, and the same thing with like Senshu, it's our 1500 guy in America. I don't know his 1500 PR, but I know he's an Olympic gold medalist in the 1500.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, it is quite interesting. Yeah, as an athlete, I guess, you know, medals don't, you don't lose your medals, but records are there to be broken.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, so obviously your dad, he ran a bit of track, but more of a football guy. Mm-hmm. You in school tried to do football and then just got kicked out.
Yeah.
Cool. And then was this in high school when you kind of started taking?
Yeah. So after freshman year, like, I was a late developer. Like, I was like 95 pounds freshman year, like 5'2".
Really?
Like, I had no business playing football.
How tall are you now?
I'm like 6'2" now. So, but I had no business being on a football field and just having these big old 200 pound linebackers just tackle me and stuff like that. So I took the safe route and just stuck with it all throughout college. And it was kind of just all about what it could do for me. So, mm-hmm. you know, it got me to just kind of make friends and stuff like that in high school, and kind of had a good group of friends that I'm still best friends to this day with. And then it got me a scholarship to Texas A&M University, and that presented itself after my freshman year with a Nike endorsement. So it's just kind of like seeing where running could take me.
Yeah, I guess doors just kept opening and you just kind of accidentally fell
into it. I was supposed to do 1 year cross country, hopefully, you know, build up my body, build up some strength, build up some muscle and join the football team, but it just never worked out that way.
You're in too deep now.
I'm in too deep now.
Exactly. Literally. So what was it like moving from Michigan to Texas? Had you traveled much before then?
Not at all, actually. But I knew that I definitely wanted to go someplace warm. Mm-hmm. So I visited Michigan University and Wisconsin University. And then I visited Texas A&M University. And just stepping off the plane to like 100 degree heat in Houston, Texas, like, I just loved it. My body just felt like it was ready to go right off the bat. But I just knew A&M was a program for me because I'm more speed oriented rather than distance oriented. Mm-hmm. And that was like the only program that was willing to let me do more 4.8 opposed to 8.15 and having to do cross country.
even though you started off in cross country, you actually have more of a sprinter's base.
Yeah, right? Definitely. I definitely was. The only reason I did cross country was because my coach thought it'd be good for my base training for the 800 in track. And he also said if I did more cross in the fall, then we could do more speed work in the springtime. So, yeah, that was pretty much the reasoning behind that.
What's your 400 meter PB?
It's not good. I have good splits, which I know don't count, but it's not good. It's like 46. Nothing impressive by any standards.
That's pretty good for an 800 meter.
But in high school, I was spitting like 45s and 4x4s and stuff like that. And that's what I was most proud of.
Okay, yeah. In high school?
In high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just casually dropping that in there.
I wanted to, just so the 46 and the 45. So.
Okay. Would you run a 4x4 at like major champs?
If I got selected to the team, and that's part of my thinking for 2021, you know, USA's has a really hard trials and like teams to make. It's like the hardest team to make in the entire world. So Coach and I were already talking about it, potentially me trying to run the 400 at USA's and trying to get a spot on either the 4x4 or mixed relay. So
yes,
that'd be awesome. Cause I have an auto bid for the 800, so I don't have to qualify.
Oh yeah, of course.
So that'd be nice to make a senior team in the 4x4.
Yeah, you and Christian Taylor could do the mixed 4x4.
That'd be awesome. That'd be sweet. Yeah.
Okay, so how did you find adjusting to college life?
I really didn't adjust very well to college. I struggled academically my freshman year, especially the first semester. Was borderline like drop. You know what I mean? Like on the dropout rate, and I just really struggled. But I had a good friends group and stuff like that, and a good support system at Texas A&M that I was able to resurrect my spring semester and was able to maintain eligibility. And I was only there for 1 year, so I never really like nailed there. I didn't really know exactly what it took to be a student athlete completely, and I never really excelled at it. But I was just happy after freshman year that I was able to escape that route and go professional.
So had you given up dreams of becoming a football player at college completely, or
to play collegiate football is what you're talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, going down that route.
I can't play collegiate football at this point. Like, my eligibility is up.
Oh, yeah.
So I started in 2015 college, and you have 5 years to complete your eligibility. So collegiate football is, those dreams are out the window for now, or forever.
Yeah, well, so how would you theoretically get into American football?
So that's the hard part. I think they have like a tryout or something like that. Don't really know the exact process, but you know, nevertheless, I think it's just more of like a tryout type thing. You know the right people, get the right agents, and they'll kind of put you to the right people. And then you do like camps and stuff like that. And I'm hoping I'm going to start on special teams because, you know, that's where like the not so best guys are at. So I'll start on special teams and then hopefully build myself up to make a offensive roster as a wide receiver.
You've really thought about this.
I've really thought about this a lot.
Wait, so would you do like that 40 yard?
Yeah, I do like a 40, you know, yeah.
I literally know nothing about American football. I mean, in the UK, it's...
Yeah, like, well, it's soccer in the UK, right?
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, we don't have American football.
Yeah, you call it football, though. Isn't it soccer football?
Wait, no. I thought you were talking about, like, NFL.
I am talking about NFL football.
Yeah, but our football is soccer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Oh, Your football is soccer.
Okay, yeah. But we don't play... I mean, we play rugby, which is kind of similar.
It's safer, yeah.
Safer.
I think it is, yeah.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Okay, so then obviously you turned pro pretty young as well. What was it like turning pro at such a young age?
A lot of pressure, because when you get a good contract or just any contract when you're very young, you kind of have a high expectation, you know, and if you don't fulfill that within the first couple of years, people are like, you're a bust right away. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I took a lot of shots, you know, not making the 2016 Olympic team, and, you know, I made my first world team in 2017, but I failed to make the final, and I was just kind of gave people like a little bit of like hope that I might do something great my first couple of years, but then just like completely just lost it and never was able to, you know, live up to that kind of hype. But
did you feel that in London that you did
in 2017? Definitely. I felt that not making the final, that almost felt worse than not making the Olympic team. You know what I mean? Cause it felt like I was close to reaching this potential that, you know, everybody set on me, which really doesn't matter. You know, at the end of the day, it's about what I want to do and what I want to achieve. But, no, over the years, I've just learned to kind of deal with it and just know that I have everything. I guess what my coach says, I have the right infantry now, or all the right artillery to be the best racer I can possibly be. So that's just not focusing on how fast I can run, just trying about competing and trying to put myself in good position and just trying to win races, you know, not trying to go out there and just break records every single time, you know, mm-hmm. just trying to get base hits. And then once that Worlds comes, you know, everything's going to come together at the right time.
Obviously the 800 meters is quite a tactical race, but you do have different types of 800 meter runners. You do have the guys who just shoot off at the front and then kind of like a hair for everybody. How much does tactics play into your mind when you're racing?
Not so much, because I feel like I've gotten in better shape to the point where I can kind of succeed from where any point I'm at in the race, you know. So I've been in world, like some of the best people in the world, like at the Diamond League finals, and I was able to go out slow and come back, you know, for another fast lap and kind of build more and show my strength side. And then for the world final, Wesley Vasquez went out in 48, which is the fastest I've ever gone out, and that just kind of showed that I can kind of do it from either way, either from the front or from the back. And I think that just kind of gave me more confidence for this entire season.
Sorry to be annoying, and I know that you are mid-interview and hopefully really enjoying yourself, but I want to take a quick moment to talk about our social channels and how you can follow us and how you can keep up with all the athletics action outside of the podcast. So you can follow us at World Athletics on all platforms. We have a variety of content, from interviews to video highlights, live streams, and just all around good times. So go follow us, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, yeah, all of those. Can we talk about that race in Zurich?
Mm-hmm.
So for those of you who haven't seen the photos of Donovan hunting down Nigel Amos in the home straight, it's probably one of the best athletics photos I've ever seen. The expression on Nigel's face is just absolutely hilarious. He was... I don't know, what would you call that in intermediate running?
It's just painful, man. But, you know, I think that him dying and me kind of accelerating made it look faster than what I really was going. You know what I mean? I think he was trying to go for something special that day, but just wasn't in the shape quite yet to do it.
Yeah. So you talked about London and missing the final was quite a big deal for you. Was that your first major international champs.
Yeah, that was my first first world championships, first senior team that I've ever made. So it was kind of just all a new experience for me. But yeah. I kind of, you know, as anybody does, I had high expectation for myself. And I wasn't just a guy that was happy to be there. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? I was there to compete. I was there to make the final. And I was there to try to bring back a medal to the United States. But failing to do that just really was devastating for me at the time.
What was it like being, I guess, walking into that stadium? Is that the biggest level you've ever...
Yeah, I think that London Stadium was crazy. And, you know, I'm 800 meters, Dave Rudisha. The first thing you think of is his 2012 Olympic finals mm-hmm. In the 140 and just the crazy race that he ran there. So just kind of knowing the history of that track and how fast guys have run there before, it just kind of made me really excited to go out there and compete. And I ran the Diamond League there earlier that year, and I ran 143.9, so it was like a quarter second off my PR. And I was hype about it, and I was like, you know, hugging my coach afterwards and all this other stuff. And then I was thinking, I was like, man, Dave Rudisha was still 3 seconds ahead of me in that kind of race. So I'm thinking about it in that way. That's what just made me excited to run at London.
Mm-hmm. And obviously moving forward, you did the indoor season in 2018, which kind mm-hmm. of didn't end the best. Mm-hmm. Is that because of injury or... I know you were at the World Indoors. Were you injured there or...
Mentally, yes, I guess I was injured, you know.
What do you mean by mentally injured?
I don't think I was ready there. It wasn't my timing and... I just don't think I was ready to race. I don't think I was ready to handle, you know, running at a high level like that. You know, I think I was in the best shape of my life, even considering this past indoor season. I still think that 2018 season was when I was in the best shape. And just being not able to leave it all out there. Yeah. You know, I actually got disqualified at the end of the day is what happened. But it was one of those things where it's like when I stepped on the white line, like I saw them raise a flag and I knew the entire race, like I'm disqualified right now. You know what I mean? Either way, I wouldn't have made the final, so it really didn't make much of a difference. But no, that was just, again, another big letdown for me at a world championship.
It's quite interesting. That was one of the first meets I ever covered. And I mm-hmm. remember going to the USA press conference, and it was like you, Sam Kendricks,
yep.
and Sharika Nelvis.
Exactly. Yep.
And I remember seeing you on the being interviewed. Mm-hmm. And your demeanor from like 2018 to 2019, you're like a different person almost.
Is that good or bad?
Definitely. It's just like you were, well, I probably in a similar way to me, I was very new to the whole thing as well. So it's like you kind of become...
Just kind of learning the ropes, you know? Just,
yeah, exactly. I think, and you're just way more, not confident is the wrong word, but you do have more of a, I don't know, you're a world champion now, so...
So I'm not confident though.
No, you are confident. Okay. You're obviously confident. But it's cool to see how athletes do grow within a sport. Do you feel like you've grown a lot from that 2018 experience?
Yeah, definitely. I think mainly mentally and just kind of building my strength physically and the combination between the two. And I took a big move out to Oregon to go train at headquarters out there. And it was just kind of just being about being all in for me. You know, I was still training with my college coach down at A&M, and Nike offered me the opportunity to go out there and have the best weightlifting coach and the best masseuses and the best just coach in general. Mm-hmm. So I was just kind of making the big move all the way across the country to kind of just put myself all in and just kind of knowing that I'm in a program and around people that have done it and have brought home medals and stuff like that. It just kind of gave me confidence to know that I belong there. You know what I mean? If I'm around all these other great people and athletes that have done it, it just kind of made me think I'm one of, if not the most prepared athlete at the meet.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. So when you, I guess, coming into 2019, I remember when we first probably met, it was in the Doha yep. Diamond League. Mm. And I don't know whether your headspace, I mean, you ran really well in Doha, but after, I mean, and it was in between because we had a few days break before we went to Yokohama for the World Relays.
Yep.
And you were kind of saying that, I guess the international circuit was still pretty new to you and you weren't quite sure how you felt about it.
Yeah, I mean, the travel sucks, you know, mm-hmm. just, you know, but it's worth it for sure. I think it wears on you. You know, when I was in Doha the entire time, I think I was saying that because I was just literally just dead tired the entire time. Mm-hmm. But once that gun goes off, obviously everything changes. But it's just everything leading up to that point mainly.
Yeah. And how did you find doing the World Relays?
That was really fun. And in Japan, it was a really cool country. It was kind of like a little preview for hopefully if I make the Tokyo 2020 team. And just running, it was kind of an awkward, really, the 4x4 mixed with two people. That was a lot of fun, but it was just something different, I think, is what made it fun.
Mm-hmm. And it was running with, well, I guess you don't really run with women as well.
Yeah, it was with Sierra. So Sierra was a cool teammate to have. It kind of felt nice to kind of do my first relay that I've done ever since like college. Mm-hmm. So that was a really cool experience.
Cool. Okay. And then I guess we haven't talked about it yet, but Doha was really big for you. Did you expect heading into the meet that it would go the way that it did?
No, not really. I think I wasn't the favorite to win the 800 at the time going into the meet, like once I traveled to Doha and stuff, but I was definitely a medal favorite, you know what I mean? Whether I'd win or not really wasn't up there. But then things started happening, like Nigel dropped out, you know, the day before the race, or the day of the race actually, I think, during my prelim. And then guys like Brandon McBride and Emmanuel Carrier weren't making the finals, so it almost was like these guys that were supposed to contend and like beat me and do other, you know, just do make the final, it just kind of added more pressure, you know what I mean? I like the having other great athletes in it, you know what I mean? I don't ever try to shy away from anybody or hope that someone doesn't succeed just to make myself feel better about the race. But just kind of when those kind of things started happening and I started hearing more and more that I was supposed to win a 800 meter gold medal rather than I could win, you know, it just kind of added on to the pressure. But to see myself finally overcome that pressure and win my first world title was huge.
And it's quite bizarre, really, because the US does have a great history in middle distance running and that kind of thing. But you're the first ever American man to win a world championship medal. That's quite a weird thought.
Yeah, no, I actually didn't even know that until the hype and the pressure started adding up prior to the race. But Dave Waddle won in the Olympics. I think it was like in 76 or something like that. But yeah, this is the first world championships 800 meter men world title that we have.
Crazy. And also, you are now the American record holder.
Yes. Yeah. That was a nice cherry on top of everything.
Did you expect to run that fast as well?
I knew it was going to be a really fast pace just because of Wesley. And that's the only way he runs. I don't think it's the only way he can run, but I think that at a world championship race, when all of that adrenaline and stuff is on your side, you know, you're going to go out fast. You're going to go out at a hot pace. And just, I knew from the get-go, I was going to have to stay on his shoulder. And no matter what, with 300 meters left, I was going to have to make a move, whether he went out in 55, whether he went out in sub 50. And once I kind of saw him let up with 300 meters to go, I just had to go with 300 and just not look back. And that last 100 meters, there wasn't like a scoreboard or like any screen. Like you can see like the distance and gap. So I didn't know like if runners were coming on me and stuff like that. So I was just trying to like just think to myself, don't die, don't die. And luckily I didn't see like the scoreboard, or else I would have seen the gap and maybe let up and missed out on the American record.
Yeah, well, either way.
Yeah, I was happy with it.
Yeah. So I guess 2020 is a big year. And do you think about the Olympics often?
Yeah, but I try not to think about it too much. I try, like, when I'm in practice and stuff like that, yeah, maybe it crosses my mind. But when I'm at home, you know, I don't have, like, Tokyo 2020 stuff, like, trying to motivate me, or I have to write it on my walls. Like, I know deep internally it's, like, in my brain and in my thoughts, so I don't have to just kind of have it, like, in my face, you know, Tokyo 2020. You know, I think it's just about doing as much as I can just on that day. You know, you can only do so much right now, so I just have to focus on what I can do and not the future, really.
Obviously a lot of your life is focused on running. What do you do outside of training?
I do like hunting and fishing, stuff like that, when I get the opportunity to. Portland kind of has me limited when it comes to that kind of stuff, but anytime I can make my way back home and go for like a whitetail deer hunt, you know, I just hop on that for sure.
Okay, interesting. What are you watching on Netflix right now?
I was watching Better Call Saul because I'm in Europe right now, and you guys have season 4, and in America they don't have that, so I have to download all the episodes before I go back. So
Were you a big Breaking Bad fan?
I was a huge Breaking Bad fan. Watched that one, and then I watched the first 3 seasons of Better Call Saul, so I'm working on the 4th one right now.
Who's your favorite Breaking Bad character? If you were a Breaking Bad character, who would you be?
I like Saul Goodman. He's just kind of shady, you know what I mean? And I like his new series that he's made, so I'm probably more biased because of that. But yeah, no, I like him.
Okay, cool. All right, well, thank you very much, Donovan Brazier, 800 meter world champion and future NFL star.
Hopefully. Thank you.
That is the end of this episode of the World Athletics Podcast. But if you want more athletics action, you can follow us on all social media platforms at World Athletics. Also, make sure you have rated and reviewed our podcast and subscribed, because on the next episode, we have an interview with high jump silver medalist from Doha and world under 20 record holder Yaroslava Mahuchik.
In Nairobi, it was very good nutrition.
What did you eat?
I eat meat, fruit, pineapple. Yes.
How do you say pineapple in Ukrainian?
Ananas.
Ananas. That's quite like...
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. I'm Ukrainian now.
Let's go to Ukraine. Yeah. I show you my country.